We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka. It is made from the finest quality grain, 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Mr. Big Chest?
It is so smooth, Mr. Big Chest. Brad Carson can drink it straight.
So smooth you can drink it straight. Doesn't mean you have to. It just means if you run out of your mixer and you're in a situation where you're trying to figure out, can I drink this straight? The answer is, of course you can drink it straight. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. It's so smooth you can drink it straight. Fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. And it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And the reason is simple. It's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. I could spend more money on vodka if I wanted to, but my wife says I already spend enough. So why would I do that? Just get the quality vodka that's reasonably priced. They got flavored vodkas as well. Grapefruit's the newest flavor, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, and raspberry. Try one, try them all. Mix them together and get freaky deaky. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Calkins is your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, and he joins me now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, man.
So you went yesterday, and you met with our old pal Chandler Parsons. You wrote a column about Chandler Parsons. Let me start with this. Did he say anything that made you change your mind about anything as it relates to Chandler Parsons?
No, but I thought he basically, I mean, one of the questions will be, how does he handle it all? You know, I mean, in that's what she said. And one of the
that's what she said. Well done.
It's too bad when I have to do two people's jobs.
No, I'm trying to stay on it, but I miss it sometimes.
Anyway, so
that's what she said.
You know, he could have come out blasting the front office, and he made it very clear he doesn't care for the front office. But I thought, given everything, he handled it pretty well. Like he said,
that's what she said.
He said, "No, I've unleashed a monster." That's what she said. Judge, stop it!
All right,
stop it!
She's not handling anything. Okay, fine.
I shouldn't have said anything.
All right.
But I thought, given everything, he was gracious, and I like the way Chris Harrington put it. He said, "You may not agree with his perspective on things or not." But he did the best job he could of telling his perspective on things. And I do think this part's clear. I think, and you've said this all along, Gary, it's very clear that whatever you think of how Chandler Parsons has managed his side of it, it would have clearly been smarter for the Grizzlies just to activate him and let him play back when he became healthy. Whether they played him or not, at the point he came back, they actually did have a full roster. They had Dylan Brooks and Jamal, like whatever. But given what we know has transpired and the awkwardness that exists now, they are not blameless in this. They had a choice, and I think it's pretty clear that they made the wrong choice. I think Chandler also made some choices that are either selfish or a little bit hard to explain, but it's pretty clear that they had a hand in this, too.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I will say that when he speaks, he's good. Like, I mean, like maybe he can't win you over, but he handles situations when he's, you know, when he has a microphone in front of him and cameras in front of him and he's asked to speak about things that could be controversial or things that are maybe unpleasant. He usually handles those situations pretty well.
Not only that, if you compare him to if you had Chris Wallace asking the same basic situations, questions about the same situations, and by the way, let's be clear, they haven't answered questions about the situation. But I mean, to be clear, like Chandler had to face he was a guest today, right? But Chris Wallace hasn't. Chris Wallace didn't say why we brought him back or anything else, right? So I give him credit for that, and I think you're exactly right. When he speaks about things, if you just listen to his side of it, and you say, okay, that seems reasonable, like, well, yeah, he is very good. I mean, I once at one point, I don't remember it was, but I'd written something semi-critical of him, and so they had me do a sit-down with him. Because, I mean, you can't talk to him and not come away thinking, okay, he's a nice guy. And you understand, actually, why the players basically seem to like him. Oh, there's any been accusations the players don't like him. But one of the striking things about the whole deal is the total disconnect between the front office and J.B. Bickerstaff on him. And it's not the kind of disconnect that there was between the front office and Dave Yeager on Rodney Hood, let's just say, which became acrimonious. I don't sense any acrimony or anything else. And now very clearly they've reached an organizational decision. They're going to play him, et cetera. But it was clearly forced upon them by Chandler. But that is what they've decided to do. But with JB, I really do believe there's genuine enthusiasm for having Chandler back. With the Grizzlies front office, it's very clear it's over my dead body, and, you know, we were forced at whatever to have him back. And so that's very striking, that sort of disconnect there. But I'm with you. When he talks, some things I just didn't buy. But I don't think hold up to scrutiny. But when he talks, I think it's pretty clear that he's pretty persuasive, and you understand why people like him.
Are you understanding at all? Because he was asked about the G League assignment that he turned down, because at least from his perspective, it was open-ended. And one of the points he made, which is, I'm an 8-year NBA veteran. Literally nobody like me has ever been asked to do what in the history of the NBA, what they were asking me to do. Are you understanding of that at all? Like, to be clear, if I were Chandler Parsons, I think I would have just said, okay, I'm going to go play in the G League and I'll prove myself. If I really believed I'm a capable NBA player, I'm going to go ball out in South Haven, go get 35 points or whatever I can do in a G League game, and then I'll be right back up. I think that's what I would have done. But if your agent is saying, dude, no franchise has ever asked an 8-year veteran on a $100 million contract to do what it is this dysfunctional franchise is asking you to do. We are not going to be the first to ever do this. I can understand how Chandler would get to a place if he didn't start in that place where he goes, yeah, why am I being asked to do something nobody else like me has ever been asked to do? Like, I'm sort of understanding of that.
Okay, the weird part about that is this, though. It was just been totally internally inconsistent. They said it was, what Chandler said was, they asked me to go down there for 4 games. And then he later said it was an open-ended stint. Well, an open-ended stint isn't 4 games.
Right.
It is true that they said at the end of the 4 games, they were going to check on my progress, see how I'm doing. Well, what the hell would be the point of the 4 games if it weren't, we just right. not going to watch the tape? So here's what I actually believe. Here is what is unprecedented when it comes to veterans and the G League. As far as I could tell, because I looked this up last night, I was right on my count. Lots of veterans have been assigned to the G League. DeMarcus Cousins has gone to the G League. Rajon Rondo has gone to the G League. Brandon Ingram has gone to the G League. Tony Parker has gone to the G League. Lots of players have gone to the G League. As far as I could tell, and I could be wrong, but all of those players went to the G League to practice for a week. As maybe one practice, maybe two practices, maybe a week of practices. They all went to G League. I actually can't find any that went to games, that played in games. So he said, I would have been happy to play for 1, 2, 3, even 4 games down there, as long as I was basically guaranteed minutes when it was done. Well, I think that's irrational. I actually don't think he would have played in any games. And I think he could have said, it's unprecedented for established NBA players. And by the way, contractually, you don't have the right to assign. You can assign young players to the G League. You can't assign. It has to be by mutual agreement to assign veterans to go to G League. As far as I can tell, no veterans ever played in G League. And so for him to say, listen, why am I the first guy who's got to play in the G League? Right? Like, I'll go down and practice there if you want me to practice there, whatever. That happens. I thought it was weird for him to say I would play 4, but I don't want to be evaluated on the basis of the 4. I want to be guaranteed playing time at the end. Well, why would we guarantee you playing time when you can't? Last time you played, we played you for 2 games and you were gone again. And like, we in fact do want to see how you hold up before we disrupt our lineup to stick you back in the lineup. So I don't think what he said about the G League really held up
to scrutiny. I don't believe it. The idea that you would go and I'd be happy to play as long as you don't evaluate me during my play seems totally weirdly illogical to me. And then I guess the other thing I would say is this. If he really is so freaking desperate to play, I don't know, like how many players have been played $94 million and given as little as Chandler Parsons has given to their franchise? That's pretty unprecedented too. So if I'm Chris Wallace, I'm saying, listen, we've stuck by you. We have rolled you out there for mandatory minutes when you couldn't barely move around the court. Now we'd just like to see you play some games, actual games, before we stick you in the lineup. I think it's unprecedented to have a guy who's been paid that much money and done nothing, honestly. And so I like to think I don't really care about precedent there. I think if he's really as desperate to play, he should have said it. But I think his explanation of it really didn't hold up because, of course, they're going to evaluate. If the point is to have him play four games, of course you're going to evaluate what those – can you still walk after those four games? Like, that would be part of the process. And the fact that he would object to being evaluated after the four games seemed crazy to me.
It seems to – like, in simple terms, what it looks like to me is that he felt like he was being asked to go try out for the Grizzlies, and he didn't feel like he should have to try out for the Grizzlies.
Right. Well, and I think this is pretty clear. He felt like if I'm healthy, I should just be inserted in the lineup, period. Right? And they felt like we want you to play a few games to see, and not try out in terms of your skills, but yeah, go play some games and we'll see how you hold up and we'll make a decision on you. And so it was kind of in that gray area. Like, was it a true rehab assignment? Like if a Major League Baseball player gets sent down, you know that Major League Baseball player is being sent down to see, not to see anything about them, just to get their timing back, right? And then they're going to go back and be put on at first base. It's not whatever. Here, he was being sent down really on a, not can you make a jumper, but can you play three games and then still walk and play the fourth? That's what he was being sent down to do, right? And he obviously didn't want to do that. And it wasn't try out in terms of prove you're good, but it was try out in sort of prove you can play a few games and still walk for us to be. But here's the other thing that obviously happened, by the way, at some point, because I mean, it couldn't be clear. Like now the thing is fractured. And you can say it's fractured because the Grizzlies mistreated him by not just sticking him back in the lineup or activating him. And by the way, that's their own organizational problem, because really what should have happened is they should have activated him and JB should have played him until other injuries happened, and then he would have naturally played, right? But because there's distrust in the organization between JB's judgment and the organization, they didn't do that. And so you can blame the organization for not activating him, and I think that's fair. You can also say, from the organizational's perspective, is they pay this guy $94 million, they get nothing out of him, and because they don't activate him immediately, he starts taking shots at him in the media. He's taking both national and local media stories about how he's yelling at Chris Wallace. He's on Instagram posting messages about, you know, let me free or whatever, like subtexting on the Instagram. And then they believe, whether it's true or not, that he's also leaking stories internally about fights in the locker room. And so they very clearly like, screw you. Like, we've just done all of this for you, all of this. And, yes, it was our fault that we signed you for the money. But come on, man. We haven't thrown you under the bus at all. We've said you're healthy. We're in it for the long term, whatever. And the first time you're healthy and we don't play you immediately, you do this to us? And they would just want to shoot him into the sun. Honestly, like, that's what happened. There was a very clearly a structural breakdown here between the front office and Chandler that is now, I think, pretty clearly irreparable.
And so how do you go from we don't even want to activate you, much less play you, to he's going to be in the rotation Friday night against the Clippers? Because I do know that they might have had NBA issues if they continued to keep him away from the team. But the NBA is not going to have an issue with the Grizzlies not playing Chandler Parsons any minutes if the coaching staff doesn't think he's able to help in any way. And yet they have promised that he's going to be in the rotation. Like, that doesn't make much sense.
Well, I think three things happened there. I think once it became clear that they weren't going to be able to keep him in California, right, I think they had to come together as an organization and say, what are we going to do? And are we just going to have him sit on the bench? It might more, you know, and then he's going to say, play me or whatever. I think they actually, Like tonight, they may not have Jaren Jackson. They don't have Jonas Valanciunas. They're not going to have Kyle Anderson. So they've got no players, first of all. So that's one thing. Second of all, it's very clear the issue of JB wanting to play him is still there. Like, JB was totally enthusiastic. JB was like, I always play players that make our team win. Like, he plays the game simply. He makes other players better. So I don't think you could activate him and not play him, because JB was going to play him. Like, unless you're telling JB he no longer has control over who plays, right? And so I just think once they realized they were bringing him back, I just think they kind of threw up their hand and said, okay, we're going to just, fine, we'll roll him out there, see how it goes. And JB said yesterday we expect him to play in all 23 of the remaining games. I don't know where you set the over-under on how many games he's going to play. I don't think most people think he's going to play in all 23 games. But the stakes aren't that high at this point, honestly, one way or another. And so it's like, fine, we'll play him. If we're going to bring him here, we'll play him and we'll see what happens. And I think they threw their hands up. The organizational preference, I know, would have been him to stay in California. But now that he's back, they've just sort of said, okay, fine, we'll play him.
I can't imagine he plays in all 23. For the obvious reasons that he likely won't be healthy enough to do it. But, like, are you really going to play him on back-to-back night? Like, are you going to play him tonight and then tomorrow night in Cleveland? He's missed all this time?
I asked a specific question, and they said yes.
That is literally the question
I asked. Are you going to play him in back-to-backs? And he said yes. He said, obviously, we'll be mindful of blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, we plan to play him in back-to-backs. We plan to play him all 23 games.
That might just be a case of, hey, listen, we don't even care if he gets hurt. You know, we're not – you know, like, whatever. But I think this is fair to say, there is not another franchise in the NBA that would have a player who missed this much time come back on a Friday night and play Friday and Saturday night. That just would not happen.
Well, they did say that given how much time he's missed, we'll monitor things. So I actually don't imagine he'll play that heavy minutes. I mean, he said he hadn't played 5-on-5. About 5-on-5 since he left the Grizzlies, which was how many months ago, right? Until 2 days ago, which was when they reconvened for practice. So I don't expect him to play 35 minutes tonight. But I expect in the first quarter he is going to be introduced as he will. I expect him to check in the first quarter. I don't expect him to start, but I expect him to check in the first quarter, and he'll play, whatever, 18 minutes.
And that's what wrapping I have. Wrapping up here with Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, you are going to Wichita to see the Tigers in Wichita State. I don't want to overstate it. You know, if they win, it'll be a nice win. And if they lose, like, whatever. It's a road game against a, you know, borderline top 100 team. You know, Memphis hasn't beaten a team like that on the road this season. But it is an opportunity to do something that they haven't done all season, which is beat a top 250 team. They're 2-6 in road games. The only wins are over Tulane and East Carolina. So it'll be interesting, I think, on two levels. A, can Memphis get the type of road win it has not been able to get so far this season? And B, you know, is Jeremiah Martin going to go for 40 again? I think I'd bet against it, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, A, it's an opportunity to do something they haven't done. B, seedings are still at stake here. Like, I mean, I think that's the... You ask what really is at stake here, and I think seedings in the tournament is what's still at stake here. There is still an opportunity to get a first-round bye, and so the win would be important. I think what's interesting about this team is sort of, as we look at Jeremiah explosion and the run of excellence, who else on this team, and this is what I think is a little worrisome, who else do you really trust? Like, what other players do you really can you count on every game? I think you can count on Renee Thornton to be what he is, not to put up 20, but to be an energy guy and get some rebounds pretty much as a constant. I actually think Kareem Brewton is a guy I kind of trust, too. But, like, who do you really trust on this team? But, I mean, Jeremiah's been great, but who do you know is going to show up and play well tomorrow?
Well, it's not just that, because really whatever happens tomorrow, everybody's pointing to next season. Like, when James Wiseman, you know, enrolls and DJ Jeffries enrolls, you know, but part of what is supposed to be great about next season is, like, you some of the guys you're going to have coming back. How many of them do you trust?
Oh, let's be clear. Of the three freshman guards who were, like, supposed to be the studs here, right? Two of them, Teddy didn't play in the second half the other night. You know, he didn't play Alo for a minute, and he didn't play Anton Jones for a minute. So they were both very clearly in the doghouse. And so there's no question that's partly true. Now, Kyle had a pretty good game. the other night, but Tyler has had, after a blazing start, he's had some good games and some bad games. So there's no question. I think is everything around Jeremiah, Jeremiah's been unbelievable lately. Everything around him, I think, has been sort of, you don't know who's going to show up. And you do know that on the road, most of them won't show up. And so, I mean, let's be honest, they wanted East Carolina, terrible team. They wanted East Carolina because Jeremiah went crazy. And so, I maybe you can count on it every night the way he's been going, but I don't think you can count on that every night. So you need Kevin Davenport to be good. You need Kareem Brewton to be good. You need some of these other players to be good tomorrow if they're going to do something that they haven't done previously.
That is Jeff Calkins. You can listen to him again on Monday morning at 9 a.m. You can read him, including whatever he writes from Wichita, at DailyMemphian.com. Thanks, buddy.
See you, man.
All right. When we get back, the Oscars are Sunday night. I have watched all but one of the Best Picture nominees. I'll tell you who should win and who definitely should not win when we get back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go fast, fast, fast like a Lambo. I be jumping off the stage.
So as you might know, I'm the father of three boys, and the youngest was born a little more than 2 years ago at Regional One Health. The reason he was born at Regional One Health is because when we got pregnant, the odds of it going well were drastically stacked against us. Our doctor let us understand that very early on, but we decided to proceed with the pregnancy anyway, for better or worse. And once we decided that, the next thing we decided is that the delivery is going to happen, if we get there, at Regional One Health, because our doctor told us, Dr. Jock Sampson, it was the hospital in the Memphis area best equipped to handle exactly what we were going to be dealing with. We ultimately did get to a delivery date. It was premature, but it happened. And everything could not have gone more smoothly at Regional One. The people there, like 17 folks in the delivery room, the delivery went smoothly. The several weeks we spent in the NICU subsequently were awesome. Those people there could not have treated my family better, and we'll owe them forever. But one of the things I've tried to stress in the subsequent years is that you do not have to be in an emergency dicey situation to take advantage of the great healthcare at Regional One Health. And the East Campus Imaging Center is a wonderful example of that. It's at 6555 Quince Road. It's right there where 385 crosses Kirby Parkway, so it's easy to get to, easy to find. If you want to call them, 515-3600. Among other things, you know, women 40 and up can have their annual mammograms performed at the East Campus Imaging Center. You do not need a referral. You don't even have to make an appointment. But if you want to make one, you can do it at 515-3600, 515-3600. It is recommended that women 40 and up get an annual mammogram. Getting that done could save your life. Not getting that done could be costly. So if you are a woman and you are 40 or older, make sure to do that. And do it at the East Campus Imaging Center. 515-3600, 515-3600. You can learn more at RegionalOneHealth.org. So I'm fired up for this weekend because I love award shows, as you know. And we got a big award show on Sunday night. It's the Oscars. Do you enjoy the Oscars, Brad Carson?
Sure, I'll watch those. Sure.
I'll watch the Oscars as well. I will. I'll finally be back home this weekend. And on Sunday, I will get whatever college basketball duties I have out of the way in the afternoon so I can settle down by 7 o'clock and watch the Oscars. So Mike DeCourcy, who's a college basketball writer, of course, for the Sporting News, I picked up on Facebook or Twitter over the years that he makes a point, he and his wife, to make sure to see every Best Picture nominee every year. Like, he's done it for a bazillion straight years. And it's a reminder that Mike has no children, so he has lots of free time, right?
Yes.
And so, but I've always, like, I get to the Oscars and there's something that wins Best Picture or something that's nominated or something that people are buzzing about. And I go, yeah, you know, I wish I would have watched that in advance of this night so that I would have somewhat of an informed opinion about whether this film, in my opinion, deserves to win this award or not, or this person deserves to win this award or not. So I set out this year, I said, you know what, one way or another, I'm going to watch the 8 Best Picture nominees. And I will tell you, as of this moment, I haven't got all 8 yet.
Oh,
I still haven't seen Vice, and the reason is because Vice is the one of all these movies that is not available yet, best I can tell, except for still in a theater somewhere.
Okay.
And I was going to go see it, like, last Saturday morning here in New York City, and then I just, you know, couldn't find time to do it. So I still haven't seen Vice, but I've seen the other 7, and I have 2 strong opinions about the other 7.
Okay, let's hear it.
One is that the film that is favored to win cannot win.
Which one is that?
Roma.
I saw the Roma. I saw that one.
Were you bored out of your mind?
I loved it. I wasn't bored by it. My wife didn't like it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was.
Did you enjoy?
I thought it was really. It really told the story and of these two families, you know, especially the family that was serving sort of the well-to-do family in the movie. And so I followed the storyline along. I also learned some things about sort of the Mexican heritage and culture and some of those differences. So it was interesting to me.
I thought it was beautifully shot.
Yeah, it is a beautiful
film.
Like,
there's these long sequences, long shots that are focused on, like the opening shot where it's focused on that drain. I thought all of that was interesting and beautiful. The story, I was bored out of my mind.
See, I thought that was the most important part of it, was the connection between the family that had the dough and the housekeeper who seemingly was saved lives, and he goes through the story of all the things she sort of did and went through herself. I thought that was interesting.
I wanted to die. Yeah. It took me like 4 or 5 sittings just to get through it. I was committed to the cause. Like, I'm going to get, but there was, from the moment it started, I kept waiting for it to get good. And once it was 45 minutes in and I'm still not interested in anything that's happening, I just wanted it to be over.
Well, they sort of set the scene a little bit. I can understand why it isn't an action-packed movie. That's for sure.
You know, like, A Star Is Born is not an action-packed movie, but I was interested in that right from the jump.
Yeah,
this one, my God.
It's also contemporary as opposed to this film is a kind of a setting piece. You know?
It's set in the 70s in Mexico.
Right.
It's black and white and nothing but subtitles. So you're asking people to do a lot.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, it's a hard one. I agree with that.
you try to get the average American to sit down and enjoy a black and white film with subtitles based in Mexico in the 70s. Like, you're going to eliminate part of your audience right from the jump,
for
right?
Sure. Yes.
But I got through. I swear. So anyway, I was on Mike DeCourcy's Facebook page earlier today, and he was ranking the Oscar nominees.
Yeah.
And he had Roma last, and it made me feel better about my opinion because this is one of those things where, you know, I don't want to sound like an idiot, right?
Yeah.
You know, like it's the favorite to win Best Picture.
Yep.
And like it's got like 98% approval on Rotten Tomatoes from film critics.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be the one guy out there like, yeah, I thought it sucked. You know, like the one guy out there talking about, yeah, you know, I don't think LeBron James is any good at basketball, right?
Right.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But if Mike DeCourcy also acknowledges that Roma is boring as hell, then I feel comfortable saying Roma is boring. It's on Netflix if you want to watch it. Like, you can watch it and see if you get into it in a way that I didn't, but my God.
I couldn't stop thinking about it after I saw it, too. Like, that was the other thing. Like, you can't stop thinking about certain parts of that movie, I think.
Well, there's this one scene that it has that I didn't know was part of the film, and it was like, you know, probably know what
I'm
talking about. It's exactly like what Kelly and I went through.
Yes.
And so that was a little, like, yeah. You know, whatever. It's a film. But it was a reminder, and I don't often like to be reminded of that moment. So there's that, but that's not even why I didn't like it. Like, I was already clocked out of the film by the time we got to that scene. I was just bored out of my mind. So I'm glad to know at least Mike DeCourcy was also bored out of his mind. So we'll stick together on that one. Either way, Roma is the favorite to win Best Picture. If I were voting Best Picture of the 8 films, like if I had a vote.
Yeah.
And again, I haven't seen Vice, but nobody thinks Vice is going to win. It's like the least likely to win. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on a possible actual winner. I will still try to see it by Sunday, though. I would vote either Black Klansman.
Okay. That's the Spike Lee film, right?
The Spike Lee film. Or A Star is Born.
Wow.
The consensus seems to be that Black Klansman may or may not be Spike Lee's best film, but it is his most likely film to win an Oscar. It's not the favorite, but it is right there with it's, you know, Roma's 4-1. Yep. Black Klansman is listed as 7-1. And then Green Book is listed as at 11-2, and the favorite is at 7-1. So it's not the favorite, but it is in the upper half. It wouldn't be crazy. It wouldn't be like this massive upset if it won. But if I were ranking the Oscar nominated films, I'd probably go Black Klansman 1 and A Star is Born 2.
Okay.
I really liked The Star is Born, and when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, that'll be Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like not only will it not be Best Picture, but like Lady Gaga probably won't win, Bradley Cooper probably won't win, The Song will likely win, Shallow, and they're going to perform that on Sunday night, but it doesn't look like it's going to win a Best Picture. But if just for me, I don't try to get too highbrow about it. Right. Just when I sit down to watch a movie, like, did I enjoy that movie experience?
Yeah.
Or was I just waiting for the film to be over? Mm-hmm. With Roma, I was just waiting for the film to be over. With Black Klansman, I thought it was good start to finish. And there's a little bit of a
Spike Lee's first possibility for a Best Picture? That's what's striking to me.
I hope
he wins it for his sake, actually. You know?
I actually don't know if it's his first nominee. I think this is the one critics have said is his most likely to win.
I got you.
Of all of his films. There's not really a twist, but Black Klansman goes from being kind of fun to like super serious at the end. Like, it really gets intense. And so that was weird. Not weird. It was just I wasn't expecting it to go from kind of a fun film about serious things to a super serious film about serious things. But it sort of it took that turn. But I thought it made the movie more compelling, and it made it register in a different way. And then A Star is Born, I was never bored. I was I was into it from start to finish. With Roma, I wanted the film to be over. With those other two, I enjoyed them from start to finish. So put me down for Black Klansman or A Star is Born, and boo Roma, boo. I couldn't stand that. But you can watch it on Netflix if you want. We'll be back. Dinner to go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Matt and Tara had a home out in Collierville. They had listed it with another agent. That didn't go well. It took months before they finally called Josh Hysaw, but they did finally call Josh Hysaw, and then he went to work right away, got 20 showings. Their home, Matt and Tara's home, it sold in less than a week for more money than they anticipated. How did Josh do that? He did it with his 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets home sold faster and for more money than the average agent. The first step is Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree on a price, then Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick, totally up to you, and it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh does not obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job in your opinion, even if your opinion makes no sense whatsoever, you can fire him, no questions asked. You can do it by text message. He has flexible fees. There are no upfront costs. None. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only agent I'd call if I needed to sell my home. It's Josh Hysaw. 461-8147 on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Off top, get guap, the hood got heavy metal like Slipknot. I hustle for my chain like a pit stop. I used to want to grip grind to my wrist lock.
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. That phone number is 360-9679, 360-9679. That's the number you're going to call, yeah, if you need a computer, high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, a desktop, a notebook, a tablet, PC, MacBook Air. Whatever you need, they either got it for you, or they can get it for you, or they can build it for you. But they also handle a computer repair. If you need virus removal because you've been Googling things that can get you viruses, you don't have to be embarrassed. It happens to people every day. Happened to Brad Carson? Probably.
No.
They handle virus removal, data recovery. They can fix a power supply issue if you've got a power supply issue. If you've got a USB port issue, they can fix that for you. If you've got a cracked screen, don't just toss the computer. They can fix that for you. 360-9679, 360-9679. Anything computer related, you call Lee and Lauren Cooper at Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park. And when you do that, tell them I said hello. They're good people. On the web, coopersystems.com. They're on the web, coopersystems.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but we mostly focused once again on the Zion Williamson story as the Shut It Down crowd continues to rage. If you missed the beginning of the show, I spent 25 minutes explaining why the Shut It Down crowd is just misguided as it relates to Zion Williamson. You can find the podcast if you want it. But I'll make it simple and quick for you. Go ahead, hit the button.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she said!
What the Shut It Down crowd seems to be missing with as it relates to Zion Williamson is that he's really not risking that much, if anything, by continuing to play basketball at Duke. He's not going to play this weekend, but when he is healthy, the all indications are that he's going to be playing basketball for Duke again. When the Shut It Down crowd screams he shouldn't be playing for something less than a paycheck because he's risking his draft spot, he's really not risking his draft spot. Even if he tore his ACL this past Wednesday night, he would be the number one pick in the NBA draft. There's no conceivable injury he could suffer playing basketball that would cost him his spot as the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft. So once you acknowledge that, what is he risking by playing? He's really not risking anything. He's only enhancing his brand and also having a good time doing it. And that's the other point that the Shut It Down crowd misses. They think that once you reach a certain level as a draft prospect, just forget about everything else and wait for the NBA draft. Well, to suggest that is to insist that nothing else matters other than where you're going to be picked in an NBA draft. And you may think that's the only thing that would matter to you if you were an elite basketball prospect, but it's not the only thing that matters to Zion Williamson. He's made that clear. He is having a great time playing basketball on a massive stage, the kind only Duke basketball can provide. He's on national television two times a week. He's playing with his best friends for the GOAT coach, and he's on his way to win a National Player of the Year and maybe, just maybe, a national championship. That's not worth nothing. There's real value to that stuff. He's making memories, creating a legacy. And again, if you happen to be a elite basketball prospect someday and you decide, yeah, that's all well and good, but I don't want to go that path, I'll just sit here and wait for the NBA draft. Fine, I understand. That's fine. But one of the mistakes people make all the time is assigning their values to other people. This wouldn't matter to me, so it shouldn't matter to that person. I wouldn't do things that way, so that person shouldn't do that things that way. You can do things however you want to do, but you're way misguided if you start telling Zion Williamson what he ought to do. Bottom line, he's not really risking what you think he's risking, and he also likes just being a college basketball player. That's fine. Be thankful he feels that way because you get to enjoy him watching him play college basketball.
What's the biggest game tonight?
NBA Clippers Grizzlies FedEx Forum downtown Memphis. Our old friends Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green going to be in town. Clips are 32-27 alone in eighth of the Western Conference standings. They're 10.5 games back of the Warriors, 1.5 games in front of the Kings. Grizz are 23-36. That's the sixth worst record in the NBA. Clips are a 2-point favorite tonight. The total is 214. Tip is scheduled for 7 Central. You can listen right here on 92.9 FM. ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
We got a brand new Dateline NBC special 1-hour edition tonight on NBC.
Let's hear it. What's the description?
I write these myself now.
I know you're an expert. You're practically Keith Morrison himself.
I feel like if if all this other stuff goes away someday,
you could have the trailer voice for this. Yeah,
and I promise you, there are days where I'm like ready for some of this stuff
I'm
to go away.
I'm feeling you.
I'm ready for some of this stuff to go away.
I understand.
I mean, I'm not really. I'm very appreciative of all the opportunities
I get,
but I am exhausted.
Yeah.
But if some of this stuff goes away, I'm going to make a run at trying to be a Dateline host.
Let's hear it.
Sorry. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Mike Williams went missing after being seen on a lake just outside Tallahassee, and he was never seen alive again. His mother, Miss Cheryl, a mother who wears pigtails, was told he drowned in that lake. Maybe a gator got him. Authorities were sure that's how his life ended. But Miss Cheryl, she never believed that. So she wrote more than 2,000 letters to the governor of Florida asking for help. She got no response. But eventually, it was proven. Mike didn't drown in that lake. He was murdered.
Oh, no.
So he went from missing to dead to murdered in a span of 10 seconds. What happened? Who did this? What secrets are in Lake Seminole? That's tonight on Dateline.
Who's reporting? Come on, Keith.
Dennis Murphy reports. Son of a bitch. Dennis Murphy.
What?
Listen, I've reached a point where I understand we ain't going to get Keith Morrison every time we want Keith Morrison, but can I get me an Andrea Canning?
You'd think.
Can I get me an Andrea Canning every once in a while? Come on, please. Give me a Keith Morrison or an Andrea Canning, please. That's tonight, 9 o'clock on NBC.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, if you haven't read Dan Wilkins' column on Zion Williamson, go check that out, usatoday.com. If you haven't read Jeff Calkins' column on Chandler Parsons that we talked about earlier, go read that, dailymemphian.com.
What's on tap next week?
Well, on Monday, we're going to look back at Tigers, Wichita State, Grizz Clippers, Grizz Cavs. And on Monday night, our king and savior, LeBron James, going to be in town. Lakers, Grizz, Monday night, inside FedEx Forum. So that's something to which we can look forward. It should be fun. So enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. Meet me back here Monday at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good. Rep your hood.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.